This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Asia Pacific Currents.
News and labour issues from the Asia Pacific region.
We strongly condemn the police that arrest the protesters.
Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock.
On Community Radio 3CR.
Workers of the world should unite to fight this greedy capitalist.
Brought to you by Australia Asia Worker Links. Good morning and welcome to this very special Asia Pacific Currents on this Saturday, the 8th of March, International Women's Day. It's 2 minutes past 9 o'clock. I'm Giselle Hanna.
And I'm Diana Beaumont. Pierre's not in this morning, but we're looking forward to having him back next week.
And we ripped off one of his interviews as well. We figure that one aspect of International Women's Day and women's organising is definitely having women at the front of the movement, having women acknowledged for the role that we play in changing the world and fighting to change the world. But of course, when we have 24 hours of women's broadcasting here at 3CR and when we promote women's only organising, that doesn't mean a holiday for men. It doesn't mean that men can go and catch up on, you know, good times and those sorts of things. It's also important that men do the kind of work that we would traditionally be doing in our place so that we don't get lumped with twice as much work on occasions like this. So coming up on today's program...
I have to explain a little bit about what Giselle means. She means that she took one of Pierre's interviews and dubbed her own voice over the question.
Pierre and I had a conversation about it. We thought, what are we going to do? We either have to do a brand new interview for the show today or we can use Pierre's interview.
That was an excellent justification. Totally objective and reasonable. No, but this morning we're going to do our normal wrap-up of news from the labour movement in the Asia Pacific region with a focus on the issues that face women workers in particular. We want to reflect on those from a union perspective and a workers perspective and also a human perspective. And as I was coming into the station this morning, I was thinking a bit about the particular issues that women workers face. And I thought of a situation that actually one of my friends here in Melbourne is facing at the moment, but you know, women around the world must be facing as well. And that is that I've got a friend who's had a young child recently, and she is keen to go back into the workforce for financial but also for social reasons, and she's been absolutely unable to find childcare for her now 8-month-old child. And she's now on an incredibly long waiting list for childcare that's not only difficult to get but also is going to be incredibly expensive because the state hasn't socialised childcare. And that's one of the still the major issues that we as a society have to acknowledge, that women are not the sole providers of domestic labour anymore. And to some extent, we have to socialise those roles that women traditionally played, like childcare. We need to provide free childcare managed by the state so that women are alleviated of that burden and they can, you know, if they want, return to work, but also they can live full lives just like men who traditionally haven't been expected to stay home with their kids.
Well, that's a really interesting choice of a topic in terms of what particularly impacts on women in the workforce. Of course, listeners, you'll know that we've recently returned from a visit to Bangladesh. So we had a delegation in Bangladesh. When asked what one of the biggest issues those women, particularly in the ready-made garments and textile industry, what's the biggest issue they're facing, they didn't say, you know, the walls are collapsing around us. They didn't say, you know, those sorts of things. They raised childcare as the biggest issue. And so, you know, in countries like Bangladesh and Cambodia and other really, really poor countries in the Asia Pacific region, when women have children and are still required to work, they literally take them with them. Or leave them at home. And you've got six-year-old children caring for toddlers and babies and so on. So in Bangladesh, we certainly know that a bunch of activist men and women formed a childcare centre so that those women so that those children can be cared for and those women can have some peace of mind when they have to go to work to provide for their families.
Another issue affecting women workers in particular that's come up in the Asia Pacific region over the last couple of weeks is the issue of the informal sector, because unions typically focus on well-organised workplaces like factories, but actually millions and millions of women around the world do informal work, whether it's selling things by the side of the street or working from home as domestic workers or working in other people's homes as domestic workers. There are many types of informal labour that women do. And informal women and men workers in India had a big win over the last couple of weeks. The Indian government has acknowledged for the first time that informal workers must have social security, just like formal workers do. And so because of the passage of new laws in India, now informal workers, namely street vendors, are going to be covered by India's social security system.
Excellent, excellent wins from the region. And I guess, you know, I've been, in addition to doing Asia Pacific Currents, I do another program here at 3CR called Accent of Women, which looks exclusively at women's organizing right around the world. And I do have to say, the strongest women I've ever encountered in my 14 years of producing that show really do come from the Asia Pacific region, not to promote any ideas of racism or regionalism or anything like that. But we do have a lot to learn from women around the region in terms of leading movements, in terms of pioneering campaigns for social justice and wage equality and equal recognition right across the world. So on that note, news from around the region.
That's right. It's 8 minutes past nine and you're listening to Asia Pacific Currents. And our first story in our news roundup is from Indonesia. Indonesian paper workers have begun a one-month strike for fair wages and rights after their employer, Asia Pulp and Paper, broke off collective bargaining talks and called in the local army and police to intimidate workers. Scabs have been brought in to break the strike. This striking mill is one of the world's largest paper mills, so it's a very significant dispute. Asia Pulp and Paper is also one of the biggest paper companies in the world and has a history of anti-worker and union-busting tactics. The company's also been criticised by activists for deforesting Indonesia's forest. So that strike is still going on. It's going to go on for a month, so that's one dispute to keep our eyes on.
In China, workers went on strike at Pepsi bottling plants in at least six different cities. The workers were protesting management's plans for large-scale layoffs, pay cuts, and reduced welfare benefits. This is the second strike by Chinese workers across multiple Pepsi factories since 2011, when there was a takeover of several Pepsi bottling operations by a new owner. The level of coordination between Pepsi workers at different plants sets this apart from other labour disputes in China. What's also unusual about the latest strike this week was the support of the official trade union. Historically, the All China Federation of Trade Unions and its company-level branches have been opposed to strikes, but this time the union has lent its support to workers. The factory union sent a list of workers' demands to the local government, city-level trade union and Pepsi senior management, stating that it was illegal for Pepsi to unilaterally terminate workers' employment contracts and that the union will never agree to such company decisions. I think we're starting to see real breakthroughs in the labour movement in China, and we've been certainly seeing those over quite a number of years watching, well, we are watching, but the workers taking up more and more industrial action. So a space to watch.
And in further news from China, over 1,000 workers also went on strike at the IBM ISTC factory in Shenzhen in the middle of this week. These strikes started on the 3rd of March, and the last we knew, the strike was still continuing. that workers are protesting against the inadequate compensation that's been offered to them when they're leaving the company in this takeover of IBM by Lenovo, a Chinese computer manufacturer. The workers are also demanding health and safety checkups from IBM before it hands the company over to Lenovo, because IBM workers complain of very long working hours. And one worker told Shenzhen TV, quote, "Many of us work from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m., sometimes for 15 days without a single day off." So they want a health check before IBM leaves to make sure that they don't have any ongoing problems.
In Cambodia, thousands of garment workers will hold a peaceful assembly today in Phnom Penh's Freedom Park. The rally will mark International Women's Day and also form part of the ongoing campaign for a living wage and an end to repression. 21 worker activists are still in jail after living wage protests in 2013. Two of the 23 that were arrested were actually released on bail after a serious campaign, but of course 21 still in prison. Unions have vowed that if there are no meaningful negotiations with the government to free the jailed activists, a nationwide strike has been called for the 12th of March. Unions are preparing a strike fund, and there'll be links on our website, that's AAWL's website, which will enable you to donate to that strike fund. The strike fund is being supported and organised by the Asia Floor Wage, which again is a campaign that was instigated by women labour movement activists in India for largely garment workers across the region.
And there's been a win in the campaign against toxic ship breaking that harms both workers and the environment. Ship breaking is where the old decommissioned ships are taken to the coast of poor countries and broken into pieces by workers who are exposed to all the chemicals and all the other hazards involved in the process. There are two illegal shipbreaking yards that have been closed in Chittagong by the government of Bangladesh. Now that the shipbreaking yards have been closed, the government has ordered that the environment be rehabilitated after thousands of mangrove trees were cut down. And these mangrove forests are an important line of defence against flooding for Bangladesh. That's why this question of the environment is significant. But there's been no mention so far of what will happen to the workers who were previously employed in these shipyards, neither whether they'll be supported to find re-employment or whether they'll receive any occupational health and safety checks after years of dangerous work. So much more needs to be done to organise shipbreaking workers, close other yards and find alternative safe work.
One of the most dangerous industries in the world, the shipbreaking industry, from, you know, apart from the physical dangers, also asbestos and things like that. In Pakistan this week, brick kiln workers are staging a sit-in and hunger strike to protest against the slave-like conditions in which they work. They've vowed to continue the hunger strike until death or until their demands are met. There are tens of thousands of workers employed at the brick kilns in Punjab, Pakistan, with at least 20,000 workers. Previous reports have documented the terrible working conditions, especially for women. In these brick kilns, women are not paid anything at all for their work. Only the male members working the brick kiln get money for the bricks made.
Yeah, I'll interrupt at that point. I mean, that's a reflection of absolutely feudal, utterly, you know, patriarchal concepts of women's work, that a woman going to work is only, you know, providing for, you know, the male member who's going to administer the finances and, you know, the economy of that family. Just utterly patriarchal concept of women's work.
Pakistan's brick kiln workers have taken action many times before, but both the employers and the state work against them. This time, workers are trying to present a unified front so that employers can't create divisions among them.
And to Sri Lanka now, where Australian-owned multinational pharmaceutical company Ansell is ignoring a Sri Lankan Supreme Court order to start collective bargaining with its employees in a Sri Lankan free trade zone. This is a long-running dispute because Ansell has long refused to acknowledge the workers' union, and workers claim that union members have been arrested, intimidated and dismissed for their activism. Because of that repression, Ansell workers went on strike for more than a month last year, but the dispute has still not been resolved, and these workers need international solidarity. Ansell is a global pharmaceutical company with facilities in 35 countries. And coordinated action by workers in Ansell facilities in other countries will be the most powerful strategy to hit back against Ansell.
16 minutes past 9 o'clock here on Community Radio 3CR. You're listening to Asia Pacific Currents, a special International Women's Day broadcast. Of course, we've got 24 hours of women's voices on Community Radio 3CR all day today. So please tune in. Stay tuned in for the whole day to listen to lots of different perspectives and to celebrate and commemorate the power and strength of women in our movement. We're going to go to some community announcements and then we'll return with Pierre / my interview with Mikyung Riau from the Korean Confederation of Trade Unions.
This is Nikki from Global Intifada on 3CR. Everyday women and women musicians from all over the world are killed, tortured, persecuted, imprisoned, and forced underground or into exile for having the conviction to stand up against their oppressors. And at 3CR on International Women's Day, we won't forget them, and we will never forgive those who oppress them. So join the resistance on International Women's Day, Saturday, March 8th on 3CR Radio, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, and 3cr.org.au. You want to talk about history? Let's stop pretending that feminism is a short blip in the history of political struggles. The feminism you know may be the one that has been dominated by white, middle-class, middle-left politics of the liberal mainstream media. I'm talking about the feminism of Commandanta Yolanda, of Asada Shakur and Leila Khaled and Truganini, of Ulrich Meinhof, Angela Davis and Arundhati Roy, of Marilyn Buck and Marie Mason, Rote Zora, Mujeres Liberes, and Pulan Devi and the woman Baggy Dakois of India's Chamba Ravines. Today on International Women's Day, inspired by the tradition of our militant sisters, and on every day, always, on 3CR Radio, 855 AM, 3CR Digital and 3cr.org.au, we bring you transgender, transracial, transborder class war against a sexist, racist, homophobic, capitalist system. Our inspiration comes from the actions of feminists who have helped self-identified women reach revolutionary consciousness. At 3CR, our feminism is revolutionary.
Past 9 o'clock here on Asia Pacific Currents on Community Radio 3CR. Of course, Asia Pacific Currents is brought to you by Australia Asia Worker Links. If you want to get in touch with us, you can find us on the web or the www.aawl.org.au. We're on Facebook and Twitter, so you can like us and follow us and get all the news and information that we put up in relation to workers organising in the Asia Pacific region. Speaking of workers organising in the Asia Pacific region, many of you will be familiar with the movement in South Korea. So in December, in fact, November, December and January, we saw a series of strikes by the Korean Railway Workers Union opposing privatisation by the Park Administration, that is the government of South Korea. What we're seeing in South Korea is a massive offensive by the government against the workers' movement and against social and civil rights. So there's been a growing unified movement against that. And Pierre spoke with Mikyung Ryu, who is the international officer of the Korean Confederation of Trade Unions, as we mentioned earlier in the show, to honour women and women's voices and International Women's Day. I've dubbed over the questions to be consistent with the policies here. But it is important to acknowledge that Pierre actually did conduct this interview. So here is that story. We start off by asking Mikyung what the demands were of a general people strike that was held on the 25th of February. What were the main demands of this strike?
This strike was organized by various social movement organizations, so the demand varied. And so each organization brought their own demand, but it was combined under against the Bakune government. For example, from the union side, we are focusing on the privatization issues, including railway and healthcare and education. And we're also focusing on the repression on the trade union movement, which is strengthened under the Park government, especially the imprisonment of trade unionists for their union activity and the civil lawsuit for compensation of damage against the individual workers and the unions. And farmers' organizations, peasants' organizations are focusing on the trade issues like TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. And so we listed 25 main demands in total.
Can you give us an idea about the 25th of February strike, how it was, how many people attended, and what happened on the day?
It was nationwide strike. So we had a main rally in Seoul, which is attended by around 40,000 people. And we also have various rallies in different cities in each provinces. So we estimate that around 100,000 people were joined in different cities.
You mentioned about some of the various big issues that workers in South Korea have faced, and APC has looked at a number of these struggles over the years. In the last 3 months, we've been following the Korean railway workers' strike. Were they involved in the anti-Park administration protest that we saw on the 25th of February?
Of course. Actually, the Korean railway workers went on a strike last year, and they maintained their strike for 23 days, which is the longest one in their history. And at the end of the strike, they set up parliamentarial committee on the future strategy of the railway industry, but the discussion inside the committee was very poor, and the co-rail, the employers and the governments are taking reprisal against the striking workers. So they found that the government's plan for the railway privatization is still going on, so they went on a 24-hour strike timed in the National People's Strike on 25th. So around 5,000 KRWU members walked out and joined the strike rally in Seoul.
Was there good participation from other sectors of the working class?
Yes. All of the affiliates of the KCTU were joined the strike, especially the workers in health and medical. The Union of Health and Medical Workers joined the strike with their own issue against the privatization in healthcare. So leaders of Korean Medical and Health Workers Union had a special ceremony for head shaving just before the main rally. And the workers who just successfully organized their own union under Samsung, which is very notorious for the anti-union and non-union policy, the Samsung Electronic Services Workers Union also staged their strike and joined the rally.
Do you think that this day and this organisation was successful in bringing unions and other groups from civil society together?
Yes, I think so. Actually, the struggle was led by the trade union last year. And the KCTU suggested form a broader coalition to fight against the current government. So almost all of the social movement organizations in Korea joined the organizing committee for this National People's Strike yesterday. So it gave very a critical moment to strengthen the solidarity among the different social movements.
Cooperation like this is always good to see. So do you think it was a success? And although you can't speak on behalf of all the groups that were working together for the protest, at least for the KCTU, what would you say the next steps are?
The government still maintaining its policy strictly. So we have to continue the struggle. So the president of KCTU, Shin Seung-chul, said that the National People's Strike of February 25th was just beginning of our strike, our struggle against the Park Geun-hye government. So we will continue our struggle, and we have many issues under the current government, so we will continue our struggle. So maybe in May and June, during the time the parliament deal with the different laws regarding the pension cuts, the public pension cuts and the privatization, we will stage the strike or all our struggle again at that moment.
That sounds very interesting, and we will definitely be following those developments. I just wanted to go back to the Railway Workers Union strike and protest late last year and earlier this year. We know a number of them were arrested. Can you tell us what the current situation is for them at the moment?
As we insisted during the strike is lawful and it's not illegal at all. So, but the co-rail and the government is still maintain that it's illegal strike and want to punish, to criminalize those union leaders. But the court decided recently to accept their request for bail. So they are now released on bail, but they are still in charge. They are still charges. So their first court hearing was happened on 24th, and their trial will go on. So we have to see what happened.
That was Mikyung Riau, the International Officer of the Korean Confederation of Trade Unions, speaking with Pierre with my dubbed voiceover about the recent mobilizations in Korea. Of course, Mikyung was my interpreter when I was in Korea in 2007.
Understandably, her English is fantastic. But it's now 27 minutes past nine here on 3CR Community Radio. Do stay tuned for the rest of the day, because we have a full day of women's broadcasting to mark International Women's Day, the 8th of March. Coming up next at 9:30, we have a special episode of Freedom of Species, where Kate will be speaking to Patricia Jones, or might be Patrice Jones, who's co-founder of Vine Sanctuary, an LGBTQ-run farmed animal sanctuary that works from within an eco-feminist understanding of the intersection of oppressions. So a lot of issues all brought together in that interview, coming up for you at 9:30. If you are hanging out for Palestine Remembered, you'll have to tune in at 9:30 next week. But that's all we've got time for here on Asia Pacific Currents. I'm Diana Beaumont.
I'm Giselle Hanna.
And we quite liked that track that Annie played for you as she was going out on Solidarity Breakfast, so we're going to play it again. It's by Peggy Seeger, Not Going to Give.